Our big political interviews, of course, the election only a few days away now, and this morning it is the turn of the Ulster Unionists and Steve Aiken. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Vinny.
It's a difficult morning to move from such horrendous news over the weekend yet again then into something like this. Your reaction to the events in London?
Vinny, my thoughts and thoughts of the party, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims of London. We saw the events in London and with horror. We saw what happened in Manchester with horror. We saw what's happened in Kabul. We've seen what's happened in Cairo. We've seen what the attacks all around the world. This is an attack on democracy. And we want to make sure that the democratic process keeps going and keeps going through. And we're British people. We're not going to be bowed by terrorism.
What can be done? Sometimes talk is cheap, but what can we do to try and protect even people here in Northern Ireland?
Vinny, talk about democracy is never cheap. We're not talking cheaply. We need to understand where we're going to. We have a real issue here. In the United Kingdom, we have an issue throughout the whole of the globe at the moment in dealing with the threat of terrorism and where terrorism is coming from. Now is the time for us to double down and make sure that our democratic process continues. We should not be derailed. We should not be changing our opinion because of what's happening or because of terrorist activity. We need to get out there. We need to support the security forces. We need to support the police. We need to support MI5, the National Crime Agency, MI6. Anybody who has any information at all needs to make sure that the appropriate authorities know about it, and we need to be able to deal with this situation. Northern Ireland went through a horror. We don't want to see that horror revisited throughout the United Kingdom or the rest of the world for the years to come.
OK, let's move on to your party, the Ulster Unionist Party, and what people can expect if they decide to vote for you. You were on this programme not that long ago for the Assembly election, sitting here in front of Stephen.
And I just hope I'm not here again in another 3 or 4 months for the next Assembly election.
Well, how confident do you feel about the general election in a few days' time?
We, the Ulster Unionist Party, we're going out there to ask people to vote for Ulster Unionist candidates because we believe we are going to have the best set of candidates to go to Westminster to represent our constituents, to represent Northern Ireland and represent that strong unionist position because we believe in modern progressive unionism. We also believe very much in getting, and I know we'll come to it, the best deal possible for Brexit for Northern Ireland.
Yes, well, we will come to that in a moment.
And we also want to see, we do want to see the restoration of the Assembly and the Northern Ireland Executive begin up and
running. I should say as well, if you want to see Steve's lovely face, you can watch this. We're streaming live on Facebook, facebook.com/realstephennolan. So, Steve Aiken, you are the same Steve that sat here a matter of months ago and told us that the UUP were going to win the Assembly election. So, you know, what's your message today? But maybe Robin Swan, will he be the next Prime Minister?
No, but let's be. That was an election. That was the Assembly. We were pushing to get as many Ulster Unionist MLAs back as possible.
You were indeed. Let's remind ourselves of what you did say a matter of months ago to Stephen.
And we're going to be the largest Unionist party, and the Sinn Féin are going
How's
to be the smallest
going to
party.
Happen? You don't think Sinn Féin are going to get more votes than your party?
I think we're going to have more seats than Sinn Féin. I think Sinn Féin have got real problems out there. Anybody going around West Belfast and saying what's happened? Oh, and we need to be careful, Stephen, around people before profit.
So it'll
profit
be a failure of the Ulster Unionist Party if you have fewer seats than Sinn Féin, will it?
Stephen, we're going to be the largest Unionist Party. We're in this election to win. We're in the election to be the largest Unionist Party.
How many seats are you predicting?
I'm not predicting any seats.
Well, because yes, you are.
We're not in that game, Stephen.
We are going to
be the largest Unionist Party. We are going to have more seats in Sinn Féin, but we will be the largest Unionist Party.
Sinn Féin had 28 seats the last election.
Can you tell us what's going to happen on Thursday? Can you tell us the way the electorate are going to go?
So, did you mean that?
Vinny, it was an Assembly election. We wanted to get as many people out as possible to make sure that we had as many MLAs
but the question
elected.
Is, though, Steve, did you mean that? Was there honesty behind what you were saying? You believed you would be the biggest party?
Vinny, of course I honestly believed it.
So what does that say about your judgment then? Because it didn't happen.
What about our judgment?
Your judgment.
My judgment was I hoped the people of Northern Ireland...
You predicted it. It wasn't so much hope. Of course, there's an element of hope in there, but you predicted it. You were very confident behind your words, and you said, we will be the biggest party, but you were not. In fact, you lost ground. So what does that say about your
judgment? We lost MLAs, but we increased our vote by 18%. 103,000 people voted for the Ulster Unionist Party. People voted for change. In my own constituency, my vote went up considerably. We have been out, and we are pushing in the Westminster election. Remember, this is a Westminster election about getting 18 MPs.
What do you say then, Steve, to people that would say, and let's just go back to the Assembly election and what you did say, that there's questions about your judgment if you're predicting being the biggest party and you were nowhere near it at all. I understand what you're saying in terms of the percentage of votes, etc. But you, and if you want to look at seats, lost ground. So what does that say about your judgment if you were so wrong then?
My judgment is that we are going into this Westminster election to get as many Ulster Unionist MPs elected. Mm-hmm. We believe very strongly that we have got a good chance of getting MPs back in Westminster. But what we want, above all, is 18 MPs representing Northern Ireland constituents sitting in Westminster, sitting in the committees, and no abstentionism. That's what we want. And we believe the Ulster Unionist Party are well placed to do that.
Do you think there might be some confusion among voters for your party as to where you stand? Just a few months ago, it was all about the joint opposition platform with the SDLP at Stormont. Vote Mike, get Colm. That was what we heard chanted many, many times. There was questions raised about that. And then Mike Nesbitt, he even gave his second preference vote to the SDLP in the Assembly election. And now you're back in this Unionist PAC territory. So what's changed?
There are no PACs, Vinnie. There are absolutely no PACs.
So you're not backing the DUP in North Belfast?
We are backing the DUP in North Belfast.
It sounds a bit like a pact.
No, Vinny, what did I say just a moment ago? I said we want to see 18 MPs back in Westminster sitting on the benches, representing their constituencies, sitting in the committees.
Yes,
we can go round and round
U-turn
again.
No, you're backing the DUP in North Belfast and they're supporting you in Fermanagh, South Tyrone.
Because we want to see, may I say it again,
yes,
18 MPs returned who are going to sit on the benches, who are going to be part of their committees, who are going to represent their constituents in Westminster.
Okay.
That is what we want to do.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, let's move a little bit on from there. You're not standing in three other seats as well as North Belfast. So who are you, your party, advising people to vote for in those constituencies? Who should they go for when you're not the option?
We are asking to vote for the Unionist candidate. That's what we want to see done. We want
to
see.
It sounds a bit like a pact, Steve.
It is not a pact.
Well, what is it then?
Finny.
You're not saying vote for who you feel is the best or who may represent you the best. You're saying vote for the other Unionist party that's in that area.
Finny, let me say it again. We are about 18 MPs.
What happened with
MPs,
the SDLP? Why not say vote for the SDLP,
Finny,
if they're running in that area?
18 MPs back in Westminster,
yes,
sitting on
I
the benches.
I understand you're referring to the fact Sinn Féin do
in the
not
committee,
take their seat there, but SDLP do.
So why would anybody,
the SDLP or not?
Why would anybody want to vote for Sinn Féin? Why? It is a wasted vote.
Well, that's in your opinion, of course, and I'm sure Sinn Féin
would
disagree.
It's not in
but
my
when
opinion.
It comes
we will
to
see
the
at the
SDLP,
election.
And what we're talking about is a reference to the fact it was, you know, it's a matter of months ago, Vote Might Get Colm, so this SDLP-UUP marriage that was there, it now seems to be in the bin, and now you're saying vote for the Unionist one. So all I'm asking you is, what has changed? Why are you not saying vote for the SDLP? Why are you saying now you should vote for a Unionist candidate? The SDLP, they will take their seats.
Finny, what we want is 18 MPs returned to Westminster.
Are you going to keep repeating this, Steve?
Yes, I am. And we'll keep on going it because that's our position.
The Alliance Party, they take their seats as well.
But we've got a great Unionist candidate in East Belfast.
No, I'm talking about the areas where the UUP are not going to stand, who people should vote for when your party is not an option. And you're telling me a Unionist candidate. So I'm asking you then, therefore, what has changed? Why not say vote for a candidate that will take their seats? Why specify Unionist then?
Because this is a Westminster election. We want to see 18 candidates returned. And in the majority of the places that we can see a candidate return, we want to see a Unionist return. Finny, what's wrong with that? We are the Ulster Unionist Party. We want to see Unionists.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just highlighting the difference and the change from the last time when it was SDLP. Vote Mike, get Colm. Vote Colm, get Mike.
But Vinny, this is a Westminster election. This
yes.
is not the Assembly.
Yeah, but the SDLP,
the
are they not running?
Election.
The SDLP, the Alliance Party, do they not have candidates as well?
We want to see as many Unionist MPs returned as possible to Westminster. But above all, we want to see, and I said it again, 18.
You can't keep saying that the whole way through here because Stephen Nolan will burst in that door himself and tell you to stop repeating yourself. Well, let's talk about then, in theory, in the next Assembly election then, are you trying to tell me that there will not be that marriage with the SDLP again? Is that gone? Or will you return to suggesting that people support them? They're just, it's just so people have a clarified vision in their head of the UUP and what that party stands for.
Vinny, this is about the Westminster
I know
election.
It is, and stop telling me that. I know that, Steve Aiken. But
do you even know there's going to be another Assembly election?
No, of course I don't.
Okay,
but let's concentrate. Probably will at some time.
Well, let's go. When?
You're doing as much as you can not to answer that question.
No, I'm answering the question
so
categorically.
Is that connection
we are about
with the
a Westminster
dead?
Election. I say again, we're about getting as many unionist MPs elected as
do
possible.
Do you or your party regret that alliance with the SDLP?
Vinny, this is about the election on the 8th of June.
Yes.
This is about
it's also
the
about your party
election.
And what your party stand for, and therefore it's a valid question to ask people.
Our party
people
is
want to have an idea of the people they're voting for, the party they're voting for, what they might or do stand for, or the position they might take on certain issues. And
Finney,
and
our
they
party
might
is very clear. It's in our manifesto. We're about getting the best deal for Brexit. We're about strengthening the union, and we're getting about the restoration of the Assembly and the Northern Ireland
election. You're not about PACs,
apparently.
No PACs.
There are no PACs. Where have we ever said
why would
there's
you,
been a PAC?
How would you describe... there was a joint statement from Arlene Foster and Robin Swan on the 8th of May this year.
And
we urge all
say?
Those who believe in the union and its benefits to support pro-union candidates.
And what is wrong with
well,
that?
Well, how would you describe a PAC then?
That is not a PAC.
What is that?
We unilaterally decided at the beginning that we would not run a candidate in North Belfast,
yes. And are you
West
saying
Belfast,
vote for who you want? No, you're saying
Foyle,
DUP in North Belfast.
Yes, we want because
and
we
they're,
want.
And they're therefore backing you in Fermanagh.
There is only one potential candidate who can represent the views of the unionist and the best of the people in Westminster, in North Belfast. And that happens to be
okay.
Nigel Dodds. In Fermanagh and South Tyrone, the only person who is going to be a great constituency MP and has done a great job for the
well,
last 2 years...
Well, let's not get into specific candidates.
Yes, we can, because you're talking about it, is Tom Elliott.
No, we're talking...
That is the person where
let's
we need
not,
to be
and
to.
You know, and I remember from the last time you were in this studio, you almost got in trouble for that too. So let's not do that here, especially when Stephen isn't in this seat. Let's move on. Is there a real problem that people maybe don't see anything particularly different from the DUP and yourselves? You know, why vote for you guys whenever the DUP is there if you're a unionist voter? What is the difference?
It's very simple. Look at how our MPs over the last 2 years have made such an impact in Westminster. Look at what the Ulster Unionist Party stands for. Look at the stance we've taken on Brexit. Look at what we've been doing linking with the business community and the academic community.
But what about a U-turn on Brexit? You were against it initially and that's changed now.
So. Vinny, there's no U-turn. Our party, on balance, supported Remain.
Did you vote for Article 50, your MPs?
Our MPs did vote for Article 50.
So you were against it initially and then you
voted
for it.
Vinny, what bit do you not understand? We're a unionist party. There was a referendum across all of the United
Kingdom.
I'm
just trying to clarify that there was a U-turn in terms
the
of your
United
party position
Kingdom,
in terms of Brexit.
The United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. We are a unionist party. We support the will of the British people. Therefore, it is up to us to get the best deal possible.
Okay.
Up to us to get the best deal possible out of the Brexit negotiations.
Well, you're not
going to
say get the worst deal possible, but I understand what you're saying. Let's stay on the issue of Brexit. Your manifesto says that the Ulster Unionist Party is committed to ensuring the UK and Northern Ireland in particular gets the best possible deal. We've talked about that already, but will you still support Brexit if it's a bad deal in your eyes?
The negotiations haven't started yet, Vinny. We need to see what the deal's going to be.
But I guess the question I'm asking is because I'm trying to find out if there's a backup plan, because it could well be that you're not happy, your party is not happy with the deal that we are given or that is generated. So my question is then what happens? Do you agree with it? Because you say, well, you know, we had a referendum, that's happened, that's gone, the people have voted, and now even though it's a bad deal, we have to keep going in that direction. Or do you, the UUP, have a backup plan?
Vinny, let's deconstruct this. The first thing we need to do...
That's a BBC term that means...
No, it's my term.
Well,
I don't work for the BBC.
Well, hopefully it doesn't end in the same way it would in this building. But just answer that for me.
No, let's go back and deconstruct it. What we need is the Northern Ireland Assembly back up and running. We need the Northern Ireland Executive up and running to get our position in Brexit so that we're able to have the discussions to make sure the Northern Ireland position is very clearly articulated and stated and that it's understood in London, in Brussels, in Dublin, and in the wider community as well. We need to do that. We need to get the Assembly back up and running, and we need to get the Northern Ireland Executive back up and running. As you're fully aware, just before we reached the general election, there was a broad degree of consensus amongst all the parties in the talks in Stormont Castle about where Brexit and what we were looking to get for Northern Ireland. We need to get to that position. If we can get the main presets of that within those discussions and we can deliver those, we should be getting a pretty good deal both for Northern Ireland, the United Kingdom and
yes.
all
so what
these
you're saying
islands
is if we
as well.
Get what we want, then it's a good deal. But what I'm asking you is, what if we don't? Some people might argue that in terms of the pecking order or priorities for the UK, Northern Ireland isn't necessarily at the top for what they want when it comes to Westminster. So what happens
but
if we don't
Vinnie,
get... Hold
Vinnie,
on a second. What happens
Vinnie,
if we
actual,
don't get the deal
look,
that we want
no,
or the deal that you feel
again,
is a good deal?
Look at what was actually written when particularly the letter went through triggering Article 50. There was clear emphasis in it about Northern Ireland, the need to make sure that there are no hard borders, to me, to make sure that there's as much free flow of that €1 billion worth
okay.
of trade a week back.
I understand
and forth
what you're saying, but let me change my question slightly. There's no guarantee that we will get the deal we want.
But it's a deal. We're going into discussions. How can we?
But that's my question. But do we have to accept
Vinnie,
the deal? Will we? Will you accept the deal regardless of what it is, or is there room for manoeuvre? For example, some people
Vinnie,
are calling for a second referendum on the deal.
This is a theoretical question. We don't even know what the deal is yet. But we know what we would like to see in
yes,
it.
Yes, but people in this in Northern Ireland would maybe like to think that people they're voting for have some kind of contingency plan or they have some kind of foresight as to what they will do or would do if the need arises. There is a very good chance that we may get a deal that we aren't happy with, but equally that we are not happy with. So the question then therefore is, what do we do?
Well, then we need to deal that when we come to that point.
So wait until it happens.
Vinnie, that's a very theoretical question. We don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is that the United Kingdom has, you know, 12% of the EU economy. We do know that it's the sixth largest country by GDP in the world. It's got a GDP of $2.86 trillion. It is one of the most significant trading companies in the world. So we would expect that there will be a form of deal that will be worked out.
Okay. What about this call for a second referendum from some people that or a referendum on the deal itself? Would you or the UUP, do they support that if that is something that comes to pass?
No. Why would we have another referendum?
Well, therefore, it goes back to my point of once the deal comes out, it's either deal with it or just take it or there's no other option from the UUP.
But that is the nature of what we're at.
Take it on the chin, so that's it.
No, it's not take it on the chin.
I know, but
we are into discussion. Why are you talking about theoretical issues?
Because it's a theoretical issue that could be a very real issue and could impact people in Northern Ireland to a huge amount, a huge deal. And it's very valid to ask that question. What are the party, your party, what would they do? What is the plan? Because a deal will come down the line at some point and it will either be good, bad,
or
maybe
good,
in the
bad,
middle.
Maybe, or whatever it is.
Yes.
And then we'll see what it's...
But there could be issues within that deal that will affect us that we would, in theory, want to change if we could. So therefore, my question is, do we, your party, is there some kind of way you would try and change it? Is there some kind of bargaining tool you would have? Would you go, in fact, for that second referendum on that to make sure that people here, or whatever part of the UK are in, are happy with the deal they're getting?
No, there's not going to be another. We've had a referendum. The referendum was, are we going to stay in the EU or not? The referendum is quite clear. We're leaving. So what we need to do is get the best deal possible. But what we need to do, above all, is get the Assembly back up and running. It's get the Northern Ireland Executive up and running and actually be able to represent our views, both east, west, north, south, in London, in Dublin, in Brussels. We need to get on with that. And that's what we need to do. That is the priority. And that is the priority for this party and should also be the priority for the people of Northern Ireland.
Okay, let's move on briefly. On health, your manifesto says that the current system is broken and is in urgent need of reform. We should start at the very top and merge the five existing trusts. Now, that's quite a radical plan. Tell me more about that.
Well, you say it's quite a radical plan.
Well, it sounds radical.
But for a population of 1.8 million to have five health trusts, five chief executives, five procurement agencies, five different health boards and the sections of it. What we need to be doing is having a streamlined approach to it. But what we need to do is have somebody who's actually responsible for delivery of the health service in Northern Ireland. And what we should have is have a chief executive in charge of all the health delivery process. Now, that's if you look at it, roughly the same size as a health trust you would have in England. So 1.8 million, bringing it together, look at how the services would work. Now, I have no complaints about how the delivery of services are in some areas. Indeed, in Antrim Area Hospital, there is an absolutely excellent method of rapid response to deal with mental health issues. But that's only in one hospital.
So centralise it.
But doesn't spread across other trusts.
Would that potentially...
It's a much more complex issue. It's not an issue of, you know, are we going to shut down buildings or are we going to do this or
Well, obviously that's a question that will come down the line. People will ask about things like redundancies or centralising certain services. So then you will hear from people in certain areas if they're told that, well, look, you now have to travel to a different part of Northern Ireland to get that particular type of health care.
Vinny, will
be concerns in there.
There will be concerns. But, Vinny, I had surgery for bowel cancer 2.5 years ago. I have to travel all over Northern Ireland for a 6-month checkup to get an MRI scan or whatever.
You travel a long
distance? I would travel to Macrofelt. I would travel anywhere. I will travel anywhere to get the best skill and services that there are there. And that is because what we need to do is go to the right specialists in the right place who've got the right equipment. Okay, there are going to have to be choices that are going to have to be made. But we need to be able to get these working. Because our health service, very clearly, can deliver, but it's struggling. I mean, look at the length of the waiting lists that have increased as well. I mean, our waiting lists are going up.
Well, we'll come on to waiting lists in just a moment. Just going back to that plan to merge the five existing trusts into one, you know, you say it's a bit of a no-brainer to an extent. Well, why didn't your own colleague, Michael McGimsey, why did he not do that whenever he was health minister?
Well, he'd already started reducing the number of health boards and trying to get the numbers down. But then remember, the DUP have held the post and Sinn Féin have held the post since. And what we want to see is, you know...
But why didn't he do it?
He was starting the process to do it. We haven't got there yet. We need to be doing this now.
But he was health minister for 4 or 5 years, so you know he did have that opportunity there to do it. Granted, I'm sure it's something that would take quite a while.
And he did reduce the number of sort of health trusts. He brought them down to the number of five.
But you're saying five is still too many.
Yes, let's get to the next stage. It's a journey.
So did he make a mistake to stop there, or should he have kept going?
He was on a journey. He was trying to get it done. But remember, the other previous health ministers, what have they done since? The waiting lists have gone up. We have had crisis after crisis.
Well, let's talk about waiting lists then. What would you do to try and tackle that? Because we hear constantly in the news how they are going the wrong way. People are waiting for years at a time sometimes for specialist treatment. So what would you do?
Yeah, I would be in a position, and I think our party would be in a position, that the first thing we're going to have to do is we look at how we're going to deliver health. We need to look at the Bengough report. We need to make sure that we're actually delivering. Well, one of the things we need to do is spend the money in allocation that we have. Of the 40-odd million that we were given last year, I think we only managed to spend about sort of 17 million of it. And one of the biggest concerns I have going forward, and I think for everybody going forward, is the challenges we're having, particularly in GP services. The challenges we're having in delivery within the hospitals. And those might just sound like glib soundbites, and I don't want them to be. But what we do need to do is we need to think about how we organise our health service to be able to deliver.
I know, but in terms of the actual how we would do that, what needs to be done? We're all very aware of the problems, the huge amount of them that there are, but what would you do to try and tackle it?
Because we're going to have to prioritise in the areas that need to be prioritised. But, I take it back to the cancer care thing. In my cancer treatment, the guidelines were 66 days from initial sort of being sent by a consultant to operating. And that happened within 66 days. And that happened because all the facilities were there. But there were no pinch points in the system. There was actually anesthesiologists were available. There was the right people in the right place to happen. And it just happened that way. And that happens a lot of areas of our health service, but other areas it doesn't. And that's down to how we organise the health service and go forward.
Would you say that it's, in terms of the different ministries that are there, it is the most important one in Northern Ireland?
I think it probably is the most important one in Northern Ireland.
Would it be top of your list then to take that when we're dishing out the different categories, different ministries?
I'll tell you something, Vinny. First and foremost, we need to get an assembly back up and running.
Would it be your first choice?
And secondly, we need to get a Northern Ireland executive up and running. and then we need to see what's
going
on.
I know we need
on.
To do that. I understand that we Vinnie, need to do that, and there's changes, but it's Vinnie, just a question. If it is so important, it's a simple yes or no answer. Vinnie, would it be first on the list of the UUP if they got to take the from the list of ministries? Would health be at
Vinnie,
the top of
we
the
have
list?
Not even decided if we're going to go back into a Northern Ireland executive again. And you know the reason for that? Is we need to see more openness and transparency in government. We need to see a reform of how business is being done. We
so
need
you're, you're in talks about restoring the executive, but you might not go the whole way.
Sorry, just taking some water there.
That's all right. You take as much water as you want.
You've got to talk about Northern Ireland water, Dick.
Not just yet.
No. Vinnie, we need to see what's going to happen. We need to get the Assembly back up and running. We need to get the Northern Ireland Executive back up and running. And we need to see...
But you might duck out of sitting in it. And I know we're talking
no,
once
we're not,
again...
No, Vinnie. That's not a question of we're not going to duck out and sitting in it. It's up to... We need to see that the reforms that we've been asking for and the other parties have been asking for in the talks are actually delivered. We need to
before
see...
Before you agree, so let's assume for a second then that they are and therefore you're back in there... Would you go for health? Would it be at the top of your list?
Well, we're not going to be in that position because if we do decide to go in, and that's a big if, and remember, that's the decision of our party leader and also our party executive, the question would be, we would probably only get one or two picks under the de Hondt system. And if that was the case, I am sure that the DUP and Sinn Féin, as the two largest parties, would take health.
Well, there's not always a rush to take that particular ministry. So
well, you have,
my question...
Well, here's
hold
the question.
On a second. My question again,
is,
Steve, what, if you could give me a yes or no answer, is if your party were given the first pick, would health be the one you would take?
No, Vinnie, if our party was going to take the first pick, it would either be finance or the economy, because those are the things...
So it's not the most
sort of,
important area then?
Those are all very important areas, but we need to get the finances right.
So you'd rather hold the key to the money, the purse string, so to speak, than actually be in charge of health and make those decisions
Vinnie,
that you're talking about, like, for example, bringing the trust down from 5-1?
We've already talked about, theoretically,
I know,
are we going to have another referendum? Theoretically,
we're
in
an unusual place
this.
At the minute because with this election, because of what has happened up at Stormont, because of Brexit and that referendum. So there are a lot of theoreticals, but they are still there and people will be concerned about them because they will affect their daily life depending on what happens. So therefore, it is a valid question to ask you that so that people have maybe a slightly clearer picture in their head of the priorities for you and your party.
Our priorities are very simple. We want to see, as it says in our Westminster Manifesto, our priorities are very simple. We want to see the strength of the union.
And those pledges are to an extent that they're theoretical too. They're not cast in stone. So if we're talking about being theoretical, it's about looking forward and planning, Steve.
What we want to see is the Assembly back up and running.
Yes,
and
you
we
might
want
go
to
back
see
into.
Look, we're definitely going back in the Assembly.
No,
We haven't left that, Vinnie.
But you might go back in.
Into the Northern Ireland Executive.
Yes.
We need to see if the reforms have been made. What's the point of going back into a Northern Ireland Executive?
I understand that, but it goes back to the electorate again and them wanting to know what you or your party might do or your stance on certain issues. And now they know now that if they vote for your party that you might not go back into the executive.
But that was always the case. What's changed?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
We need to make sure that in the Northern Ireland, if the Northern Ireland Assembly needs to get back up and running, the Northern Ireland Executive is restored. There are reforms in it, so it's more open and transparent. That's what the parties are asking for.
Okay.
We need to have that. Because, Vinnie, there's no point in going back into an executive if you've got a ministry, and let's say I did take health, and I was the health minister.
But you don't want that. You want finance.
Vinnie.
Well, you said
we're
it
talking,
wasn't top of your
we
list.
We are talking, we're being theoretical about here. And I know
I thought
we
weren't allowed to be theoretical,
and
Steve.
You're smiling.
You can't have your cake and eat it.
Oh, well, there's no cake around here. Vinnie, key point here. Is if anybody was the Minister of Health, will health get the appropriate resources? Will there be the political buy-in from all the political parties to be able to make the reforms that are needed?
Okay.
And making reforms such as having one chief executive who's responsible for the delivery of the health service, who is directly accountable to the health minister and to the Assembly, is a very sensible way forward.
Okay.
That's what happens in the rest of the United Kingdom. Why can't it happen here? We need to make it work.